The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. We are glad you have joined us this Sunday morning, this Resurrection Sunday morning. It is a day of celebration because the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ has risen. He is alive, and we are glad that you have decided to join us via Facebook Live this morning. If you are listening on our website this morning, thank you for joining us. This is a Resurrection Sunday like no other. It is a Sunday where we celebrate the risen Lord, and we are glad that you have decided to join us with your families this Sunday morning. It is a beautiful Sunday that God has blessed us with. We are excited that this is a Sunday that we can celebrate that Jesus Christ is continuing to work in our lives, that Christ has decided to challenge us to accept his risenness in a new and exciting way this 2020 year. We have been reflecting and preparing ourselves this season of Lent, especially this Holy Week, as we have remembered that Christ entered into Jerusalem last Sunday on Palm Sunday. We have reflected during the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday. We remembered his death during Good Friday, and today we celebrate the empty tomb on this Resurrection Sunday. It is a day that we are excited about. It is a day that we celebrate, that Christians across this world are celebrating the empty tomb. So thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. We are excited about the day to sing songs that we have been swelling in our hearts, songs that we celebrate, because this is the holiest day on the Christian calendar. We have a day that we are used to having our pews full on this Sunday morning. And we know that that you are gathered in your homes this morning, and we hope that you will join us as we sing. We hope that you will join with us in prayer. We hope that you will read your scripture with us this morning as we look at the gospel account from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. But today, as we gather, we know that God is going to move and move us in a new and a special way this morning. This morning, our opening scripture passage comes from Psalm 19. So if you have your Bibles with you, join with me as we read the scripture passage this morning. I'll be reading from the NIV. The song of praise is one that will set the tone for our worship this morning. Reading from this psalm that expresses joy, and it's a psalm from David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. But them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As we reflect on these words this morning, this resurrection morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. Creator of life, in raising Christ Jesus up through, out of, and beyond the chains of death, you opened for us the way to eternal and abundant life. May our alleluias on this day float high above the ceiling of what we think we may know and transcend to the heavens of what we believe, and thus live in a new life. Raise us up, renew our lives, resurrect our dreams through Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray this day. Amen. Reading. It is printed. It will be on the wall behind me, and our music leadership today will join with me as well during this responsive reading. It's you will be reading the bold print that will come up on the screen. I will read the light print. Hold your head high. Christ has risen. Death has been conquered. Christ has restored us to new life. All that is broken has been made whole.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Hold your head high. Christ has risen. From a triumphant Palm Sunday to a dark Friday, passing through sorrow, through death, to life and joy, we arrive at Easter. We know that joy and sorrow, life and death, are bound together.
By the power of God, the cross could not defeat Christ. The tomb could not hold him.
Hold your head high. Christ has risen. Carry forward God's healing. Carry it to a world where truth and justice triumph over evil and oppression. You have been called out of death into new life.
Rejoice. Life bursts through death. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore.
Alleluia.
Thank you.
as we reflect on this time of year, Resurrection Sunday, and as we reflect on what we have as a nation and as a world have been going through these past couple months, we have to remember that this is a season of hope. The resurrection is a reminder that Christ came back and restored us, gave us a time of hope. We were a fallen people, and Christ, with an empty tomb, gave us hope, a new life, a new beginning. And so, as prior to the sermon today, I think it's very fitting that we go to the Lord in prayer, and we lift up a prayer of hope for our nation and for our world. And this will be a guided prayer that we go to, that we pray today. So as you gather with me this morning in your homes and the places where you gather with your families, there'll be some moments of silence, some time where you can gather with your families and your friends and whoever you're with today and wherever you are, and just spend some moments in silence and praying, and be reminded that when the tomb was left empty, it was a gift of hope. So let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Sing aloud, O mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, sisters and brothers. Rejoice and exult with all your hearts. Let us offer our prayers and thanksgivings with one voice, calling out the good news. The tomb stands empty. We look for our Savior among the living. Jesus Christ is alive and in our midst today. We pray for all faithful people, for every human soul that turns to God in longing and in love today and every day. Pull us out of our graves and into your life this day. The tomb stands empty. We look for our Redeemer among the living. Jesus Christ is alive and among us today. We pray for our nation, all nations of this earth, for those in authority and for those under authority. Come from the four winds, O breath of life, and we shall live together in peace. And in this moment, we lift up for those in authority and all those under authority this day. The tomb stands empty. We look for our mediator among the living. Jesus Christ is alive and within us today. We pray for this world, our garden home, for the rain and the snow, the seed and the sprout, for the birthing room and the last place of rest, for every new creation. We lift up our world, our creation that you gave us this day. The tomb stands empty. We look for our gardener among the living. Jesus Christ is alive and beside us today. We pray for those who are sick or suffering. For anyone who needs extra help just now, we pray especially for those on our minds and in our hearts today. Living Lord, renew them in your love in this moment. The tomb stands empty. We look for our sustainer among the living. Jesus Christ is alive and with us today. We pray for those who have died and for all who mourn. We pray especially for those on our minds and in our hearts. Eternal One, bring them home and gather them in this day. The tomb stands empty. We look for our beloved among the living. Jesus Christ is alive and in the midst of us today. With joy and exultation, we give thanks for the triumph of life over death, offering special thanks for those joys, sorrows, challenges, and delights we hold in our minds and in our hearts this day. We are amazed at what has happened and what you have done for us. The tomb stands empty. We look for our Creator among the living. Jesus Christ is alive and in our hearts today. Holy One, even before we call, you answer. While we are speaking, you hear. We offer up these prayers in the name of the risen Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, and friend. And all God's people said, Amen. You know, this is an Easter like no other. I say that, though, but I take that back. Because 2,000 years ago, Resurrection was like Sunday was like no other. But I'll start with a story. I'll start with a story I heard on the radio this morning as I was driving to church. I was scanning the radio stations, and I heard the story a pastor was sharing in his sermon at the beginning of his sermon this morning, and it just caught me by surprise. And I'll start it because I think sometimes we need a laugh, and this made me chuckle. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her third grade Sunday school class about how Jesus was crucified on Easter Sunday morning, and how he was placed in a tomb. And a large stone was rolled in front of the tomb to seal the tomb shut. Then, wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection, she asked her third graders, "What do you think was Jesus' first words when he came bursting out of the tomb that Easter Sunday morning?" This little girl in the back of the third grade class, bursting with excitement, little tiny little girl, threw up her hand. "I know, I know, I know, I know, I know." "Well, good," said the teacher. "Tell us what Jesus' first words were." And this little girl, bursting with excitement, the teacher leaned in, and all her classmates leaned in, exciting to hear what the little girl expected were these words that the little girl said. This little girl threw her hands up in the air and said, "Ta-da!" See, if I had a congregation full of people, that would have got a big laugh. I got about six laughs, and I got six people in here, so I will assume that everybody at home is laughing on their couches this morning. Well, I'm not sure that is what Jesus said when he came out of the tomb that Resurrection Sunday morning, but it does kind of capture that idea that words have the ability to inspire us, and that words have the ability to last the test of time. You know, think about it for a few moments. You know, at pivotal moments in history, throughout history, there are usually words spoken by individuals that we still remember. We can often quote them. We can still quote them that defined a moment and often shape history at that time. Let me share a few with those words that we still, that, and I'm not the only one that can quote them, but I'll share those with you this morning. "Give me liberty or give me death." Ever heard that one? Patrick Henry, March 3rd, 1775. He spoke this to the Second Virginia Convention, swaying the convention to support the idea of a revolution against the mother country of England, eventually leading to Virginia supporting the idea of fighting against England for the American Revolution, which eventually swayed this country, leading to the independence of the American colonies. We remember that term, those words, right? What about 67 years ago? Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, November 19th, 1863. A speech where he honored the fallen soldiers on the battlefield of Gettysburg. But he reminded the nation of the reason for the battle: freedom for all men, all for all colors, leading to eventual freedom for African Americans during the battle, the Civil War. One that maybe doesn't capture your mind, but one that rings in my ears because my oldest son Samuel had to do a project on this gentleman, but one that if across the sea in England, they do hold so true. "This was their finest hour." Winston Churchill, June 18th, 1940, in a speech to the House of Commons in the midst of World War II, newly elected Prime Minister of England, gave this rallying speech to inspire their nation and their troops, but also encouraged additional support from other European countries, and also encouraged our own country to support the Western European nations to fight against the German onslaught during World War II that swayed the battle, swayed the war that eventually led to success in World War II. What about "I Have a Dream"? I only have to say those four, and we all know who spoke those. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., August 28, 1963. A speech during the March on Washington, rallied support during the Civil Rights Movement, pushing for equal rights for all, no matter the race, gender, or creed. All we have to say is those four words, and most school children, most adults can tell you who spoke those words. Even, what about these words? These are words that I live through. "I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knocked down these buildings will hear you soon too." Remember those words? Spoken by George W. Bush, September 14th, 2001, from the remains of the World Trade Center building after 9/11, speaking to the police and the firefighters, emergency workers, as he was trying to encourage and rally those who came to help after 9/11. You see, words have the ability to influence and define a moment in history. The words spoken by these historical individuals shape the moment in history and time, and we still remember those words today. However, the impact of those words, even though we can still repeat those words, have been lost in their historical context. We still may be able to repeat them, but that historical moment is there set in time. But there are three words that were spoken 2,000 years ago outside of a tomb whose impact continues to shape, challenge, and define our world. Three words that we can all repeat today, but the question this morning is this: what do we do with them? Leave them for history? Just like, I have a dream. Just like, give me liberty or give me death. Or let them live inside of us on a day-to-day basis. That's the question I have for you this Resurrection Sunday morning. What do we do with these three words? So if you have your Bibles with me this morning, I encourage you to turn with me. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to be reading Matthew's account of the resurrection, reading verses 1 through 10 this morning. It'll be on the screen behind me if you don't have your Bibles with you. But if you do, I encourage you to turn with me because we'll be kind of going back and forth with the Scripture this morning. As you turn with me this morning, I'm going to kind of set the scene for you. We've been looking at this account. We've been using the Gospel of John mostly during the Holy Week this morning, but I'm going to shift to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. But to kind of set the scene, reminder that Jesus was crucified on the cross, what we described and talked about on Good Friday. After he was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body so he could bury him. So Joseph took the body and cleaned Jesus' body and buried him in Joseph's tomb and rolled a big stone in front of the tomb to seal it shut, which was a common practice back then. That was to prevent any kind of contamination of the body, to prevent the smell that would take place after a body decayed. Now, what we're told in Matthew's gospel is that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary stood and observed this take place from afar. So they were sitting opposite the tomb watching this happen. The next day after this took place, the chief priests and the Pharisees go to Pilate and express some concern about the possibility that something might happen because Jesus had taught about coming back, rising again after the third day. Now, they weren't real sure what this meant, but they were concerned that maybe, just maybe, something might happen. Maybe the disciples might do something, or maybe Jesus might actually come back. And so they said, can Pilate please put a guard outside the tomb to prevent anything from happening? So Pilate posted a guard outside the tomb to prevent any kind of, let's quote unquote say, any kind of funny business. Pilate concedes, he posts a guard outside the tomb, and he seals a seal around the stone to prevent anything from happening inside the tomb. We'll say any kind of funny business. This brings us to our passage this morning. So reading from Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1 this morning. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. You know, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." He has risen. Three words that we were proclaimed at the beginning of the worship service this morning. Three words that have been proclaimed by thousands of Christian churches in thousands of worship services by millions of Christians across the world this Resurrection Sunday morning. These three words are the most powerful and transforming words that have ever been proclaimed in any point in history ever. Ever. He has risen. When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb that Resurrection Sunday morning, they were not expecting to have these words proclaimed to them by the herald angel sent by the Heavenly Father. Their expectation was to find that same tomb that they had sat in front of 2 days before, sealed by the stone that they had left just a couple days before. They expected to find a Roman guard because they had probably heard that that guard had been sent the day before. They expected to find that same seal that had probably been placed the day before. They expected to find the same as they expected, and they expected just to sit there and look at a tomb sealed with their rabbi, Jesus, behind that stone. But instead, they had three words that were spoken to them. Three words that shaped human history. He has risen. For Mary and Mary, their lives had already been changed by the teachings of Jesus. Their lives had already been changed by walking with the Messiah, the Rabbi, the teacher. Their lives had already been filled and instilled by the teachings and learning from not just Jesus, but the disciples, and being able to experience the Lord, their Messiah. Little did they know that He has risen was going to transform their lives to a whole new level. That's not what they were expecting that Resurrection Sunday morning. And not just that, they didn't realize that as they were going to leave that tomb that Sunday morning, that they were going to have a whole new purpose in life. Their expectation was probably going to go return to their homes like they had done the day before, and to meet their expectations of what their daily lives were going to be. But instead, when they left the tomb that Sunday morning, It was, go proclaim the risen Lord. Before, their message was about Jesus as the Messiah, the living Lord. Now he is the risen Lord. There's a difference. There's a big difference. The living Lord was 33 years. The risen Lord is eternity. There's a big difference. The world has just been changed. Not just 33 years of change. We're talking eternity change. Do we really understand this? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus conquered the grave, he changed the world. It wasn't just about Mary and Mary. It was about us. When Mary and Mary went to the tomb and they heard those three words, it was about us at the tomb as well. He has risen is a proclamation that the world has been changed for us. And that is the message that Mary and Mary were being asked to go share. First with the disciples, but the next message was for us. It didn't stop with the disciples. The next door they knocked on was ours. Do we get that? Do we understand that this Resurrection Sunday morning? It didn't stop with the disciples. The next door they knocked on was ours. So with fear and joy, they left the tomb to go and proclaim, he has risen. But you can imagine that they were scared. I mean, they had just experienced an angel. I don't know about you. The last time I met an angel, I was pretty scared too. I'm just joking. I haven't met an angel, but if I did, I would be pretty scared. But Jesus knew they would need to be empowered. So to empower the two Marys with this message, just as Jesus empowers us on this morning and every morning, he met them where they were. And as Mary and Mary encountered the risen Lord, Jesus in the flesh, they fell at his feet and worshiped him. The Gospel of Matthew captures this moment by showing that the two Marys wrapped their arms around Jesus' feet, embracing the risen Lord. That's something about this passage this morning. That's why I chose this passage this morning. Because in this passage, they embrace his feet. Jesus met them where they were, and they embraced him. I think we can learn something from verse 9 in chapter 28 today. To proclaim and live out the message of he has risen day to day, we must spend intimate time at the feet of Jesus on a daily basis. To proclaim him, we must know him. Jesus knew that the message that they were taking was powerful and scary. They were about to go take the message to the disciples. The disciples had been taking messages to them, and they were about to reverse the story. And he encouraged them. But let's not forget that Mary and Mary weren't the only two people at the tomb that day. They weren't the only two witnesses to this angelic encounter. Remember, there were a couple guards. We don't know how many, but there were guards at the tomb that Resurrection Sunday morning. They were placed there not by their own choice, but by Pilate because of the Pharisees and the chief priests desiring that. When the angel appeared that morning, and an earthquake-like sound when the stone got rolled away, they appeared to the two guards and to the two Marys. The verse 4 tells us the guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. It didn't say they killed the guards. It doesn't say that. And the next thing that we are told about the guards, and we're not real sure if it's the same guards or if it was different guards that heard the story, but the next thing we know about the guards comes in verses 11 through 15, which I didn't read today, but we're told that guards later went to report this story to the chief priests and to report what had happened at the tomb. And to hide what happened at the tomb, the guards were bribed to keep things silent and to spread a rumor that the body had been stolen by the disciples during the night. You see, the guards were witnesses at the tomb to some of the events. Now, they didn't hear the proclamation, "He is risen," because they were like dead men. They were passed out. They didn't hear that he is risen by the angel, but they did know that Jesus was not in the tomb. They did know that the stone was rolled away by an angelic figure. They did know that something had happened. They did know that the tomb was empty. And the Jewish officials and the chief priests knew the same thing. Something happened. The tomb was empty. An angelic figure appeared, yet even an empty tomb was ignored. Because an intimate relationship with Christ did not exist. So for the guards and the Jewish officials, even an empty tomb was simply an empty tomb. It wasn't evidence of a resurrected Lord. He has risen with something to explain away, or to hide, or to ignore. Definitely not something to share or to proclaim. So as we gather here on this Resurrection Sunday morning, there's two ways that we can approach "He has risen." He has risen did not make history. He has risen changed history for each of us 2,000 years ago. And it continues to change history for each of us each and every day. That is why these three words are different from any other words that have ever been spoken or will ever be spoken again. These three words are past, present, and future wrapped up into one. When God created the world and sin was introduced into the world and creation fell, everything from that point on pointed towards these three words and this pivotal moment in history. He has risen. Every event that has followed and will continue to follow will be shaped by that defining moment and these defining words. He is risen. Each day when we wake up in the morning and face the world, we should define and approach our day by those three words. He is risen. What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for you today? What does that mean for me today? If you are listening to this service this morning and you have not encountered the risen Lord like the two Marys had that resurrection morning, it all starts there. And I know the individuals that are gathered in the sanctuary this morning, so I'm not speaking to them this morning. I'm speaking to anybody who is listening on this feed or listening on the website this morning at www.fbc-elon.org. If you do not have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, today is the day. Do not delay it. Do not put it off. Do not say maybe tomorrow, or maybe next week, or maybe next year, maybe next Resurrection Sunday, or maybe next Easter. Don't put it off. Today is the day. And I know you're not here in this sanctuary this morning, and it's impossible to have an altar call or whatever, but it's not, there's nothing preventing you from getting in contact and making that connection with Christ today. So today's the day. get on your knees, make that decision right now, and contact us here at the church. There's nothing preventing you from doing that today. You can find the contact information on our website, www.fbc-elon.org. You can call the church. You can send a message via our Facebook page. My email address is on the church website. If today's the day, do not put it off today, because there's no better day than right now on Resurrection Sunday to begin that intimate relationship with Christ. If you are like the other two, the two Marys that began a relationship with Christ, and you are worshiping and you're going to the tomb just like they did, and you're continuing that relationship with Christ, each day is a day that we are called to ask that question: He is risen. How can I reflect that in my life today? Here are five simple steps that we need to do each and every day. Let the two Marys be our model. The first thing is this: approach the day with a purpose. They went to the tomb that day with a purpose. That was to worship their Savior. Even despite that He was behind that tomb, and guess what? He wasn't behind that tomb. He wasn't behind that stone. He was risen that day. Approach the day with a purpose. The second thing is this: listen and be open for God's direction. You never know when and where God may send an angel that day. And I can't guarantee it'll be an angel. It may be a message. It may be a phone call. It may be an email, a text, a tweet. Who knows? You never know where it might come from. Be open for God's direction. The third thing is, share the good news with everyone we may encounter. That even goes in a social distancing world. You never know who you might encounter and how you may encounter them. That was the mission that two Marys were given, and they were called to do it. They were called to take it to the disciples, and who knows who else they shared that message with after they went to the disciples. The fourth thing is, may every word and action be a worshipful act towards God. Obeying Jesus' command was the beginning, and then falling at His feet was the next step. So every word and action we take should be a worshipful act towards God. Last and not least, most importantly, don't forget to spend intimate time with the Savior. Intimate time with God. That's where Mary and Mary gained their strength and courage to do what they were called to do. Time at the feet of the Savior. Those five steps can empower us to be who He has called us to be, to live out on a daily basis, He is risen. Or, this Resurrection Sunday morning, the other option is to approach the empty tomb like the soldiers and the chief priests. Let the three words, "He is risen," get lost in history as words from the past, like words from speeches of old. Yes, we'll dust them off again next year and mention them again around this same time next year. Maybe next year we'll have, hopefully, people in our pews. But the choice is yours. The question is, what will you do with them this year, not next year? Will you let these three words, "He has risen," change your world? Let us pray. Father, as we reflect on those words, "He has risen," we are reminded that those life-changing words are words that we are called to live out every single day. And they weren't just spoken to Mary and Mary 2,000 years ago, but they were spoken to us, and they live and breathe in us this day. And because He lives, because he lives, we can face each day with hope and purpose and promise. And knowing that, Father, may we continue to be challenged to live out your purpose and message and mission. Father, may we accept that challenge, and may we live out the promise of Resurrection Sunday, not just this day, but every day. In Jesus Christ, our risen Lord's name, we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is He Lives.
As you celebrate the rest of this day with your family on Resurrection Sunday, we pray for health and happiness on this Resurrection Day. As we close with our benediction, dance, celebrate, sing, and shout for joy. Christ is risen and He goes before us into this world of fear and pain. He has called us to bring the good news of healing and hope, of redemption. Go in peace and feel the presence of the risen Lord with you now and forevermore. Amen.